Good morning. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15 is where we will begin this morning. There in Luke chapter 15, Jesus spoke three parables in that chapter about someone or something that is lost and was found. And he talks about the joy that came when that which was lost was found. And there in Luke chapter 15, in verses 4 through 6, he talks about a man who has 100 sheep, and 99 of them are safe and sound, but there's one sheep that is lost, and he asks the rhetorical question, what man of you wouldn't leave the 99 and go find that one which is lost until he find it? And then in verse 5, it says, when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And so as Jesus uses this illustration here of a man having found his lost sheep, he uses this to speak about how much joy there is in heaven when one sinner repents. Notice verse 7, he says, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And so this verse here is one that we often quote when somebody becomes a Christian. We point out how much joy there is in heaven and what a wonderful occasion it is for them to make that choice. And we don't want to underestimate the importance of that, or to mean the importance of that. It's a very important time in a person's life when he or she makes the choice to become a Christian and does so. But we want to make sure we understand that this is not when one reaches the finish line of his or her life of service to Christ. It's really when he or she reaches the starting point of his or her life of service to Christ. There's a lifestyle change that needs to take place, and there's things that need to take place upon becoming a Christian each day of our lives as long as we're here on earth. And something that all Christians need to do, as we see in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, is to be continually growing and developing to be more pleasing to God. Notice there in 2 Peter 3:18, when Peter was writing there by inspiration to Christians, he told these Christians he was writing to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so Christians are not to get this idea that Christianity is just a one-time event and then we just remain as we are the rest of our lives. We need to remain steadfast in things we're doing right. We also need to be continuously growing and developing to be more pleasing to God. And one specific area of growth that is brought out in Scripture that we want to emphasize here this morning is growing in character, developing the kind of character that God expects of us. That's something that each of us need to be striving to do. Notice some passages that bring out the importance of character. Notice some passages that list several character traits that God expects Christians to be adding to our lives. One is there in 2 Peter in chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, there it says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Eight character traits are listed there that we need to be adding to our lives. We see as Peter there is writing to Christians. Notice also in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Here in Colossians chapter 3, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, talks to the saints at Colossae about things they need to put off and then things they need to put on. And notice the things he mentions they need to put on here beginning at verse 12, he says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." As he talks there about things that we need to put on, he talks about certain character traits that should become a part of who we are. He talks about how we need to become people who are full of mercy and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, to be forbearing, to be forgiving, to put on charity, to let the peace of God rule in our hearts, and to be thankful. These are things that deal with our character. They deal with who we are as people. And these Christians here that Paul is inspired to write to are commanded, these are things you need to be adding to your life as you grow into the kind of people that God would have you to be. Notice one other passage that is a familiar one to probably most of you, but Galatians 5:22 and 23. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, there it contrasts the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. And it mentions there that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We see here another 9 qualities or character traits that are brought out here that God expects us to be exhibiting in our lives. And there's other passages we could look at, but the point of bringing these out is to help us to see the importance of character. The importance of becoming the kind of people who are could be described by these qualities that God lists for us that He expects us to have a part of our lives. This slide here is one that's not on your outline for the sake of space. If you'd like a copy of this, please let me know after services and be happy to get that for you. But this slide here is intended just to help us to see how much is said in the New Testament about character and the kind of people God wants us to be. These are 25 character traits, and there's others we could list as well, but these are just 25 character traits that God expects Christians to be putting on. And you see the reference in parentheses there, the verse that each of these comes from. But God expects us to be all of these things. He expects us to be people who are meek, who are pure, who are courageous, who are loving, who are kind, who are forgiving, sincere, lowly, selfless, joyful, honest, merciful, humble, grateful, gentle, peaceable, holy, compassionate, virtuous, faithful, temperate, patient, godly, diligent, zealous. It's a long list of things, but God expects us to be all of those things, and it is something that should cause us to realize just how important character is in the eyes of God. There's a lot of character traits that God expects us to be putting on. And sometimes when we talk about things like what we have up here on the slide, sometimes people approach these things from the perspective of, well, some people are just naturally that way, but I'm not, and that's just a part of who I am. And there's some things that are a part of our personality, we might say, that God doesn't require us to change, and maybe we can't change. You think, for example, about the difference between introverts and extroverts. Some people are very naturally introverted. Some people are very naturally extroverted. There's pros and cons to both. Neither's necessarily better or worse. And God doesn't tell us in His Word that we need to become either one. So that's something that we might look at and say, well, that's just naturally how I am, and just have to accept that. But sometimes people will do things like that with things that God commands of us. For instance, somebody might say, well, this person over here is very patient, and that's good for them. I'm an impatient person, and that's just how it is, and I've just got to accept that. But the truth is that one of the things we saw God commands us to be adding to our character is patience, as we saw there in 2 Peter chapter 1. So when it comes to character traits that God commands of us, we shouldn't have this mindset of, well, these are just things that I don't have and I'm just never going to have them. We need to realize that God doesn't ask us to do anything He doesn't give us the ability to do. Notice in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, before the Holy Spirit through Paul lists those things in that verse that we need to be putting on, he says, put on. He mentions those first two words, put on. That's a commandment. That's not something where God is saying, those of you who have these things as a part of your life, you are fortunate, you are lucky, and those of you who don't have these things, you should be thankful that some do. He doesn't say that. He's writing to Christians, and he tells all these Christians he's writing to, put these things on. Each one of you needs to be striving to grow in this area. And so if we look at our lives and we see that we are not humble like we should be, we see that we are proud, and we might think, well, I would love to be humble, but that's just not who I am. I'm just not a humble person. Well, God tells us here in this verse, you need to be. And it's something you can do. It's something that is possible for you to do. And we need to understand that God, if God asks us to do something, we have the ability to do it. And of course, there's situations we understand where He commands things, like tells us not to forsake the assembling of the saints. Sometimes people are, because of health reasons, are not able to do that. We understand there's things like that. But we don't want to excuse ourselves from developing the kind of character that God commands of Christians in His Word, because we say that's just not the type of person I am. If we're not, we need to become that kind of person, because God tells us to put these things on. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, he uses the word add there. So just like he tells the church at Colossae in Colossians 3:12, put on these things, he tells the Christians in 2 Peter 1, 5, add these things. So again, that's a commandment, saying that's something you need to do. But notice what else he says there in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence. Perhaps the reason that a lot of people get the idea that if I'm an impatient person, there's just nothing I can do about it, I've just got to accept that. Or if I'm a proud person, there's nothing I can do about that, I've just got to accept that. We could go on and on. But perhaps the reason that some have gotten that idea is because it takes a lot of work to change in these ways that God expects us to. It's something that takes diligence, something we've got to put deliberate effort into. And if we don't put deliberate effort into it, we may not see those changes taking place and then think, well, they just can't take place. The truth is they can, but we've got to give effort to that. We've got to give diligence to become the kind of people that God would have us to be. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we have the verse there that talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. He says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't follow the pattern or the scheme or the diagram of the world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word for transformed is the Greek word metamorpho. Just like a caterpillar goes through a metamorphosis process and eventually becomes a butterfly, that's the transformation process we go through as we become a new person. It's not a change of outward form like that caterpillar, but it's a change of, first and foremost, the inward man. But he says you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But notice the preface for this verse. Before he gives this commandment to change who we are, to not follow the pattern or the scheme or the diagram of the world, and to be transformed into the kind of people who are pleasing to God, before he gives that commandment, he says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that is, in consideration of everything I've been talking about in this letter up to this point, he says, here's how you need to respond. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If we don't get verse 1 down, we're probably not going to get verse 2 down. If we don't determine we're going to present ourselves to God, surrender all to Him, and say, Lord, you just do with me what you will. What you say I will do, where you send I will go. If we don't have that mentality, then we're going to have a hard time being transformed into the kind of people God would have us to be. We've got to determine we just want to do whatever God wants us to do, and we surrender our lives to Him in that way. And when we do that, we'll be giving diligence to be the transformed people that he'd have us to be, and to not be conformed to the world, but be pleasing to him. So it's important for us to recognize, first of all, the importance of growth, second of all, the importance of growing in character, and to realize that it is possible to change our character, at least in ways that God requires us. It's possible to change our character, but it requires a lot of diligent effort if we're going to do that. Now I want to notice, for the second part of this lesson, notice some things that will help us to grow and develop in character in order to become the kind of people who please God. First of all, we want to recognize that if we're going to be growing and developing in character as God would have us to, we need to be diligently digging into God's Word and studying it. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. There in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, or like newborn babes is how some translations render that, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So notice two parts of that. Number one, when he says as newborn babes, and I think the proper meaning there is like newborn babes, as some translations have that, just like a newborn baby has this longing for, this desire for physical milk, that's how we need to long for the spiritual nutrition that God offers us in his Word. We need to have that same longing, that same desire for the nutrition that we get of a spiritual nature through God's Word, number one. And then notice the end of that verse, he says that you may grow thereby. Just like a baby needs physical milk in order to grow, in order to develop, we need the spiritual nutrition God provides in his Word in order to grow, in order to develop spiritually. And so we've got to be longing for that and studying that to be able to grow in the way that God would have us to. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, we have a passage there where Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders, giving some parting words to them in those few verses there. And he told them there in verse 32 of Acts 20, he said, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Notice that phrase, build you up, that's used there about halfway through the verse. He says, I commend you to the word of God's grace, which is able to build you up. God's word is able to build us up and help us to grow and develop into the kind of people God desires. And so it's important for us, if we want to grow, to look to what God says in his word, to have that longing for the word that is able to build us up and is able to help us to grow. But as we study this word, we want to do so not just seeking to gain knowledge, just so we can have knowledge of facts. It's important to have knowledge, but we don't want to just have knowledge of facts. Instead, we want to make sure that we are studying this thoughtfully and considering what is said in it, and examining our lives in comparison to God's Word to see how our lives measure up with what God expects of us. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5. There the Holy Spirit through Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. And so we need to be constantly examining ourselves, and this is really important if we're going to be growing in character as God would have us to be. We've got to be studying God's Word, but then looking at our own lives and meditating upon what God's Word teaches in relation to our own lives so that we can think about things that will help us to grow and develop as God would have us to. An example of this, I think, is brought out in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when we think about what is stated here, I think this can help us to see how studying and meditating upon God's Word while examining ourselves can help us to grow in character. Here in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, Paul here in this passage is talking about the assurance of the resurrection, and he starts off by mentioning those who were eyewitnesses to Christ after he was raised from the dead. He talks about how Jesus was seen by above 500 brethren at once, and how he was seen by all of the apostles. And then he says in verse 8, last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. And following up on that word last, saying he was the last of the apostles to see Jesus, he goes on in verse 9 to point out how fitting it was that he was the last of the apostles to see Jesus, because he says, I am the least of the apostles, for that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So notice here in these verses, Paul's humility being brought out. He said, I'm least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. By the grace of God, I am what I am. This isn't something I deserve. This is something that God has offered me through his grace. And we see this kind of humility from Paul throughout his letters. He would say, I'm less than the least of all the saints. I'm the chiefest of sinners, in a couple of other passages. And we might think, what is it that led Paul to have that mentality? Notice there at the end of verse 9, he says, because I persecuted the church of God. He thought about what he had done and what God had done. Just as we today can think about what God says in his word about salvation, we can think about how God shows us in his word that none of us earn salvation, none of us deserve it, but God offers it to us through his grace, and Jesus died so that we could have our sins forgiven. And we can read about that and study that, and we can look at our lives and see that we have sinned, and because of that, we're not deserving of what Christ did. And when we stop and consider that, if that doesn't humble us, I don't know what will. It certainly humbled Paul when he stopped and thought about that and saw himself as one who was what he was by the grace of God. He didn't deserve what he had, and he realized that as he reflected upon the truth that he knew from God and upon his own life, it helped him to grow and develop in humility. And it can help us too. If we are in a situation where we are becoming boastful, becoming proud, and we're thinking, how can we become more humble like we know we need to be? Just dig into God's word and start reading about what he teaches about salvation. When we learn how our salvation was made possible through the blood of Jesus Christ, if we think about that, really, it should humble us when we think about that, to realize it's by the grace of God and by the blood of Christ that we are what we are. And that's just one example that we might think about. But the point is that as we are thoughtfully studying the Word of God and we are examining ourselves, it helps us to develop and to grow in character as God would have us to. But one other point we want to make on this is that as we're examining ourselves, one important point is that we're examining ourselves to see where we need to put into practice what God has taught us in his word so that we can grow and develop by getting this spiritual exercise that we need. Notice in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. There the Holy Spirit, through the Hebrews writer, was contrasting those who he calls babes, who still needed the milk of the word, which is a figurative way of saying they were still needing the first principles of the word. He was contrasting those individuals with those who were more spiritually mature and able to handle more of the meatier things of the word. And notice what he says about those who could handle the strong meat of the word. He said, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice there, they had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I've seen that referred to before, a spiritual exercise that they had gotten. And notice how they'd gotten this. It says, by reason of use. They were putting into practice what they knew God's will was for them. And as they continually did this, they continually took truth from God and they applied it to their own lives. They were continually growing and developing both in knowledge and wisdom and also in character to be more pleasing to God. And so it's important for us, if we're going to grow in character as we should, to be constantly examining our lives in light of God's word. And there's a lot of examples that we could give of this, but for example, something that we might look at our lives and see that we're struggling with is we might look at our lives and see that we're struggling with patience. We might see that God would have us to be patient, and we might have been in a situation where somebody reacted to us in a way that they indicated they didn't think we were being patient. And we realize, I think I really need to grow in patience and need to develop. Well, as we stop and reflect on that, and we think, how could I have handled this situation better? The next time we're in that situation, we're liable to be thinking about that more and putting that into practice. And we do that time and time again, and pretty soon over time, that becomes just our habits. That becomes a part of who we are, and our character becomes developed as we're continually reflecting on God's Word and how it relates to our lives and seeking to put that into practice. So that's important if we're going to be growing and developing in character as God would have us to. But something else that is very beneficial for us if we're going to be developing character as God would have us to is to be spending time with brethren. Notice in Hebrews 10 and verse 24, just before we see the commandment there that we often reference, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, just before that verse, verse 24 says something that our assembling together is all about. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So one key reason that we're to be assembling together is out of consideration for one another, in order to think about how we can encourage and edify one another to be more loving and to be being provoked into good works. We see that brought out there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And this has application both ways. When we think about edifying others and also being edified by our brethren, it works both ways. We can all help each other to be growing and developing in love and in all the things that God would have us to, as we spend time together and edify one another through the things that God tells us to do. But one more thing that is really important if we're going to be growing and developing in character as God would have us to be constantly going to Him in prayer and asking for His help. Notice over in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. There, Paul gives a prayer, really tells the Philippian brethren what he's been praying for them on their behalf. And notice the specific things that Paul mentions he's been praying for the Philippian brethren. Philippians 1, beginning at verse 9, he said, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So notice some of those things that are mentioned there. He prayed that their love would abound more and more. He prayed that they would be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, that they'd be filled with the fruits of righteousness. That would include probably the fruit of the Spirit, not be limited to it. But as he prays these things on their behalf, part of what he's praying for is that they grow and develop in character to become the kind of people that God desires. And that's something that each one of us can do. If we're struggling with something that we're really working on, trying to do better at, we can and should be going to God in prayer and asking for His help with that. And He'll answer according to His wisdom in the ways that He knows best if we're praying according to His will. So as we come back to 2 Peter 3:18 and recognize that Christians should be constantly growing and developing, and specifically, as those passages we noted in the opening mention and bring out, we need to be growing and developing in character. There's a lot of character traits that God expects us to be putting on, and really all those things in a lot of ways are interconnected. They all help and promote one another, but it's all a part of the type of character, the type of person that God wants us to be. And we need to be striving to continuously grow and develop to become the kind of person God would have us to be. And I hope that this lesson has helped us to see some things that will help us to grow and develop in order to be more pleasing to God. There might be some here this morning who are not right with God. There might be some here who are not yet Christians. And as we saw in that opening passage, There's great joy in heaven when anyone makes the choice to become a Christian. It's a wonderful occasion. We want to understand that it's just the starting point of our life of service to Christ, but it is a wonderful, wonderful occasion, and it's something that we would love for you to do if you've not yet done that. If you have any questions about anything, we'd be happy to study with you. If you'd like to find out what God's will is for your life and you're not sure, we can study with you. But if you are sure, if you know what God teaches in His Word you need to do, you're not yet a Christian and you know what you need to do to become a Christian, we'd encourage you to make the choice to become one before you leave here this morning. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you are willing to confess that, you're willing to repent of your sin, turn from your sinful life and start living for Christ, and you're willing to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, we'd love to help you with that before you leave this morning. If you are a Christian who is struggling with some sin in your life or something that you'd like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. In either case, if you're subject to the invitation, won't you come forward as we stand and sing?